target. Putting her mind at ease can go a long way toward creating an atmosphere where she will like you, which will build trust and lead to success. A social engineer can look for things to compliment a target on. When engaging a target and when appropriate, start the conversation with a simple complimentary question, such as, "Those are nice shoes, where did you buy them?" is useful. People like positive reinforcement. When one receives compliments from another, he tends to stay engaged in order to receive more positive reinforcement. These compliments tend to reinforce a target's self-image, making him feel as if you have a greater than normal understanding of him. The University of Minnesota issued a paper about reinforcement which states that too much positive reinforcement can have a negative effect. They call it satiation, which means that when reinforcement is given too much, it begins to lose its effectiveness. To combat this effect, you can use positive reinforcement backed up by a question. This method reinforces positive behavior or attitudes, but also makes people happy as they are being asked about themselves. 4 steps can help you get people to like you. 1. Project a confident and positive attitude. 2. Establish rapport. 3. Synchronize, or get in tune with the target and surroundings using the methods mentioned earlier. 4. Effectively communicate. In his book, How to Make People Like You in 90 Seconds, Nicholas Boothman says that people decide whether they like someone in the first 2 seconds of meeting him or her. After an impression is made, changing it can be hard. He promotes coming into an interaction with a good attitude, having the ability to speak up and communicate effectively in many different situations can make you more likable. What you project onto others is what they will feel. Your facial expressions, body language, dress, and so on must all project a good, positive attitude. Boothman says some key things in his book about being likable, including to ask a lot of questions, actively listen, and be interested in what people are saying. Doing these things will help people like you. A social engineer may need to practice it, but being likable will go a long way toward succeeding in your audits. Consensus or social proof? Social proof is a psychological phenomenon that occurs in social situations when people are unable to determine the appropriate mode of behavior. You can easily assume a behavior is appropriate if you see others acting or talking a certain way. Social influence in general can lead to conformity of large groups of individuals in either correct or mistaken choices. This behavior is common when people enter into unfamiliar situations and don't have a frame of reference on how to deal with the situation. They mirror their behavior off others whom they assume are more familiar and therefore better informed. In his book, Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion, Dr. Robert Cialdini states social proof. People will do things they see other people are doing. For example, in one experiment, one or more Confederates would look up to the sky. Bystanders would then look up to the sky to see what they were seeing. At one point, this experiment is aborted, as so many people were looking up that they stopped traffic. I will outline some excellent examples of social proof that will help you see how powerful it is and if you have ever fallen for it. Social proof is used heavily in marketing. Social proof is utilized in sales when high sales numbers are released. Demonstrating to potential customers that the product is popular. Another example is when companies release t-shirts with logos or slogans printed on them, where the wearer then gives an implicit endorsement. Social proof is not just influenced by larger groups, but also by high-profile individuals. For instance, a single celebrity becoming associated with a product will make others want to be associated with the celebrity's positive traits, and they will then use the same product. Many examples exist of celebrity endorsements. Here are just a few. A major supplier of berets was able to get Samuel L. Jackson to endorse their product, the Kangol hat. Right through 2010, Maria Sharapova was paid millions in U.S. dollars per year to endorse Canon products. Catherine Zeta-Jones endorses T-Mobile products in their TV commercials and print ads, to the tune of $20 million in U.S. dollars. In 2009, Tiger Woods was paid over $100 million in U.S. dollars for his off-course product endorsements like AT&T, Gatorade, Gillette, Nike Golf, and Tag Heuer, to name a few. Michael Jordan still earns $45 million in U.S. dollars per year for his Nike endorsements. There are even some more unusual celebrity endorsements, like Ozzy Osbourne endorsing I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, Mikhail Gorbachev endorsing Louis Vuitton, Ben Stiller endorsing the alcoholic drink Chew High to Japanese viewers. Why do companies spend so much to have a celebrity endorse their products? It is exactly how social proof works. When consumers see famous people they admire and adore wearing, using, or even speaking about those products, it is as if they are being told directly by that person how amazing that product is. Many will view it as solid proof that these products are worth every penny. In its marketing efforts, the company said its hats were some of the hottest on the market, and the proof was that Mr. Jackson can be seen wearing them. Advertisers often say things like largest selling or hottest product to convince their audience that they have the backing of many of our peers in these claims. In addition, the media-studies.ca website posted an article on influencing targets using social proof. Experiments have found that the use of canned laughter causes an audience to laugh longer and more often when humorous material is presented, and to rate the material as funnier. In addition, some evidence indicates that canned laughter is most effective for poor jokes. The question is, why does it work, especially when the laugh track is so obviously fake? To answer this question, Cialdini posits the principle of social proof. One means we use to determine what is correct is to find out what other people think is correct. We view a behavior as more correct in a given situation to the degree we see others performing it. As with other weapons of influence, social proof is a shortcut that usually works well for us. If we conform to the behavior we see around us, we are less likely to make a social faux pas. The fact that canned laughter provokes an automatic response in audiences suggests that auditory cues are powerful stimuli, because they influence us at a level of consciousness that is difficult to critique. Other examples are how bartenders or other establishments will salt the tip jar by placing a few bills in the jar. As a patron approaches to purchase food, the implication is, "Many before you have tipped me, why don't you?" And it works too. One of the most profound bits of research in this field that really stands out was done by Dr. K.D. Craig in 1978. Dr. Craig devoted his life to the study of pain and its effects on people. In 1978, he published a paper entitled Social Modeling Influences on Sensory Decision Theory and Psychophysiological Indexes of Pain, in which he did an experiment that he describes as subjects exposed to social models dissimulating tolerance or intolerance generally exhibit matching behavior in their verbal ratings of painful stimulation. It has been unclear, however, whether these changes reflect voluntary alteration of evidence or genuine changes in distress. This study used alternative measures and controlled for methodological limitations of earlier studies by examining non-palmar skin potential, in addition to palmar skin conductance and heart rate indexes of psychophysiological response to electric shock, and by evaluating verbal expressions of pain with sensory decision theory methodology. Several indexes of non-palmar skin potential and heart rate reactivity exhibit lower reactivity in the tolerant group. Tolerant modeling was also associated with decreases in subjective stress. The results were consistent with the position that changes in pain indexes associated with exposure to a tolerant model represented variations in fundamental characteristics of painful experiences as opposed to suppression of information. To boil this down, what he basically did was shock people and ask them to rate their pain level. Then, using similar but varying shocks, did the same test in the presence of a person who was tolerant to the pain. It was as if a magical cloak was over the subject, because they were now more tolerant to pain. This experiment points to the fact that part of the motivation to show, exhibit, or feel pain is related to how others around you act. The people in this study weren't just acting like it hurt less. Their skin reactions and heart rate actually exhibited less pain reaction when a tolerant model was in place. For a humorous example of the power of social proof, check out a video from the old television show Candid Camera. This video shows subjects being influenced to face different directions in an elevator, even at one point facing toward the back because everyone else is doing it. There were 4 to 5 participants in the elevator acting as patrons. At set intervals, the patrons would all turn to the left, to the right, or face backwards. After a few seconds, a hidden camera would catch the unsuspecting subject complying and facing the same direction, removing a hat, or taking some other action. Using social proof as a social engineer can be a deadly tool. This principle can be used to stimulate a person's compliance with a request by informing him or her that many other individuals, perhaps some who were role models, took the action or behavior you are trying to get this person to do. Social proof can provide a shortcut for determining how to behave. But at the same time, it can make targets vulnerable to manipulations of others who seek to exploit such influence. Social proof is most influential under 2 conditions. Uncertainty. When people are unsure and the situation is ambiguous, they are more likely to observe the behavior of others and to accept that behavior as correct. Similarity. People are more inclined to follow the lead of others who are similar to themselves. These conditions are where a social engineer can use social proof. Stating or even implying that many people before this target have taken a particular action can increase your chances of success. In one social engineering situation where I was stopped by a leery security guard, I simply acted confused as to why I was stopped and said, "Yesterday, Jim let me in after checking all my credentials. I just figured I was still on record." The present security guard, hearing that Jim approved me, allowed me to pass without question. Social proof won't always work so easily, but it is a very powerful force. The principles outlined in this section are some of the deadliest influence tactics used today. These tactics can literally give a social engineer powers to motivate people, move them, and cause them to react in ways that will put them in the social engineer's control. Remember that influence and the art of persuasion is the process of getting someone else to want to do, react, think, or behave the way you want them to. Creating this motivation within a target is a powerful force. It is a social engineer's superpower. The principles outlined in this chapter can make that superpower a reality, but not without consequence and lots of hard work. What do I mean by that? I have often found that after I practice a certain skill and become proficient at it, turning it off is very hard. This trait may sound attractive, but being cautious when it comes to who you are influencing, especially as a social engineer, is a good idea. To ingrain these skills in your personality, use them for helping others. For example, when you start to practice reading micro-expressions and even using them to manipulate a target, the initial response might be to think you have some mystical power that allows you to almost read minds. This is where caution is wise. Practice the skill and work toward perfecting it, but don't assume you know it all. If you can influence someone to stop smoking, to start working out, or to be healthier, then you will learn to tap into these skills at will to benefit others. And using them in your social engineering practice is not a far-fetched idea. Many of these skills require you to actually be interested in people, care about them, and empathize with them. If these are not natural abilities for you, then you must work hard to obtain those skills. I urge you to take that time because the skills in the preceding section can lead you to being a grand master social engineer. Imagine you could alter what you think to the extent that gaining these skills could be easier. Imagine now, too, if you could alter the thinking of your targets so what they experience is exactly what you want them to experience. Literally altering the reality of those you interact with, including yourself, is the next topic, and it will just blow you away. Altering reality. Framing. Framing has been defined as information and experiences in life that alter the way one reacts to the decisions one must make. From a non-social engineer point of view, framing is your personal experiences and the experiences of others that you allow into your conscious mind to alter the way you make decisions. Grocery stores use framing by putting 75% lean on a package of ground meat as opposed to 25% fat. These terms mean the same thing. Both have 25% fat content, but one sounds healthier and is more appealing to the buyer. And that is why stores use 75% lean as opposed to labeling the actual fat content. The preceding example is simple, but it is also one that helps to show the power of framing. Simply presenting the facts in a different way can make something seem good that would normally be considered bad. The following sections look at a few areas where framing is often used so you can see how powerful it is. Politics. Framing has long been used in politics. Simply the way campaigns or messages are worded can make a huge difference in the way the public perceives the message. Consider, for example, George Lakoff, a professional cognitive linguist. In an interesting observation on framing in politics, he states the difference in how people perceive the use of the phrases counterterrorism as law enforcement versus counterterrorism as war. When the 9/11 attacks occurred, Colin Powell argued that they should be treated as crimes. When the public demanded more action and stricter policies, then President Bush announced the War on Terror campaign. Another example is the Social Security program in the United States. The name implies that this program can be relied upon to provide security for the future. Yet another example is the difference in the terms bailout versus economic stimulus. Bailout met with lots of opposition because it can paint a word picture of bailing water out of a sinking boat. But economic stimulus paints the mental picture of helping the economy by stimulating the economy. Both programs did almost the same thing, but simple wording made the latter term more acceptable. Judith Butler, Berkeley professor and author of the critically acclaimed book Frames of War, wrote about how framing is used especially in Western cultures when it comes to political agendas and war. In her book, she explores the media's portrayal of state violence. This portrayal has saturated our understanding of human life and has led to the exploitation and abandonment of whole peoples who are cast as existential threats rather than as living populations in need of protection. These people are framed as already lost to imprisonment, unemployment, and starvation, and can easily be dismissed. In the twisted logic that rationalizes their deaths, the loss of such populations is deemed necessary to protect the lives of the living. These are just a few examples where framing is used in politics. Using framing in everyday life. The term frame of reference is defined as a set of ideas, conditions, or assumptions that determine how something will be approached, perceived, or understood. This definition can be helpful in understanding how framing is used. Anything that can alter people's perceptions or the way they make decisions can be called framing. A friend tells you that last week she went to town and took a certain route that was blocked up for 10 miles due to some construction. You might then take a longer route to avoid the potential delay, even though the news your friend shared is more than a week old. Our minds are designed to not like clutter or chaos. When presented with things that are cluttered, our brains will try to make order out of them. In your present frame, what is the background and what is the foreground? Your minds will insist on finding familiar patterns in things. We do it in clouds, space, and inanimate objects. Humans also tend to see faces in these things. Framing is not all about images. Mostly, it is about the value that the target perceives. The perception that the target has of an item can increase or decrease its value. Take an expensive clothing store. When you walk in, everything is hung neatly, pressed, and perfect. The perception can be that the clothing is worth the exorbitant amount of the price tag. Yet, if you were to take one of these ties, shirts, or other pieces of clothing off the rack, bring it to a discount store, and throw it into a large bin full of other clothes marked discount 75% off, your perception of the value of that item of clothing would go way down. Marketing gurus play off this phenomenon in an effort to frame the public's perception of value. Many companies have been successful at framing to such an extent that people actually have coined phrases to create a whole genre of words to describe products. For example, everyone has probably said, "Will you make a Xerox of that?" Even if the machine is not a Xerox but another brand. Xerox is the brand name, not the type of machine. A more recent example is no matter what search engine you use, people often say, "Did you Google it?" Because Google has become synonymous with searching on the web. And people say, "Hand me a Kleenex, please," when really they want a tissue. Others that you might have not been aware of were brand names, unless you are of the generation in which they were introduced, include Aspirin is a trademarked product of Bayer. Thermos is a product name of Thermos GmbH Company. Band-Aid is a trademark of Johnson & Johnson. Frisbee is a trademark of Wham-O. All of those names became so popular that people's frame of reference eventually encompassed any product similar to it. I never take aspirin. I usually use another brand. But I will always ask for 2 aspirin, be given the brand I use, and be very happy. Volumes of information exist about framing, but boiling down this information to some main principles you can use as a social engineer is necessary. The preceding information set a very detailed stage for what framing is and how it is used in different areas of life. Before moving to the social engineering arena, take a look at the different types of framing alignments. 4 types of frame alignment. 2 researchers, David Snow from the University of Arizona and Robert Benford from the University of Nebraska, wrote a paper entitled "Clarifying the Relationship Between Framing and Ideology in the Study of Social Movements." Snow and Benford argued that when individual frames become linked in congruency and complementariness, that frame alignment occurs, producing frame resonance, which is key to the process of a group transitioning from one frame to another. Snow and Benford then outlined 4 conditions that affect framing efforts. The robustness, completeness, and thoroughness of the framing effort. Snow and Benford identified 3 core framing tasks and the degree to which these tasks are attended to determine how much each participant gets involved. The 3 steps are: diagnose the frame for problems, analyze it for solutions. If successful, a call to action. The more effort put into the frame, the better chance the person has to call those he is framing into action. The relationship between the proposed frame and the larger belief system. People tend to discount frames or proposed frames if a link does not exist to a core belief or value of their belief system. Trying to convince a person who holds a belief that eating meat is cruelty to animals to go to the steak place down the road that has a great special will certainly fail. The frame must fall with the core of a person's beliefs to be successful, unless your goal is to use a frame to change his or her core beliefs. It is imperative to have success. A large-scale framing change attempt was made through the controversial anti-smoking commercials, where volunteers pile up body bags in front of a tobacco industry building's front door. The body bags represent how many people die every minute, hour, or day from smoking. The hope is to alter the frame of those who support smoking to think about the death toll for those who smoke. Relevance of the frame to the realities of the participants. The frame must be relevant to the person or target. It must be credible and testable as it relates to the target's experience. You can't expect to use a marketing frame that will encourage people to take a luxury cruise in a land where people cannot afford food for the day. No matter how good you are at using framing and marketing, it just would fail. For the frame to align, it must not just be relevant, but must also be provable in order to hold value, even if that proof is just in the mind of the target. For example, in 2007, a very popular and trusted news source, Insight Magazine, which is owned by the same company as the Washington Times, reported that then-presidential candidate Obama had attended an all-Muslim school that was known for teaching a very radical and fundamental form of Islam. When this news report was released, many believed it right away. Why? It fit into the frame of their reality. It seemed credible. And it came from a trusted source. CNN, another reputable source for news, sent out investigators, discovered that the story was false, and reported its findings. This is a good example of altering people's frames on a matter using a very trusted source for truth, news media. People who wanted to believe that Obama was a radical Muslim ran with that story, and the news went wild. When research revealed the story to be false, many people's thinking was altered again. Cycles of protest, the point at which the frame emerges on the timeline of the current era and existing preoccupations with social change. What is happening in the world can affect a social frame. Think back a few years ago. If the idea of full-body x-ray scans were proposed to companies in the U.S. or other Western cultures, the idea would have been thrown to the wind. Activists for privacy would have fought against the idea and won simply by using the idea of someone being able to see your private areas and potentially saving that picture to mock or sexually harass you. This argument would have outweighed the sales efforts of the creators of the machines. Yet after the attacks in America on September 11th and the subsequent rise of terrorist activity, those machines are being installed at airports around the globe, despite the cries by activists, even arguing with the power of child pornography laws on their side. Why? The social frame of how to remain safe has been altered, allowing a new breed of decision to enter. Snow and Benford propose that when proper frames are constructed, as described in these 4 points, large-scale changes in society, such as those necessary for social movement, can be achieved through frame alignment. Their studies focus on society as a whole, but these same principles are effective when dealing on a smaller scale, or even one-to-one. The preceding discussion is just the process to frame alignment. Actually, 4 different types of alignment can occur after these 4 conditions are met. Although many of these aspects are geared towards framing groups as a whole, the following sections discuss these 4 framing alignments on a personal level that will show you how you can use them on a smaller scale, both as a social engineer and or just a person wanting to align frames with others. Imagine trying to align your goal of entry to a building with the frame of the security guard designed to stop you. Bringing his frame into alignment with your pretext can ensure success. One thing to remember about frames is that they are never constructed from scratch. Frames are always drawn on already existing cultural codes that involve the core of a person's beliefs and experiences. Knowing this will affect how you use framing. Frame bridging. The Kathy Marsh Center for Census and Survey Information defines frame bridging as the linkage of 2 or more ideologically congruent but structurally unconnected frames regarding a particular topic. Bridging is not about tricking people into believing your frame as much as you are understanding their frame so deeply that you find the connecting link. You then use that connecting link to bring a target into your frame. The situation could be that you want to gain access to an area, building, or piece of information. Your frame is that you want that to happen. The frame of the person you are approaching is not necessarily to stop you. He may not even know what you are going to attempt. If you were to approach the situation in that frame, you may alert him to a problem and thereby shut down your chances. By understanding the target's job, role, and mental outlook, you can understand his frame of mind and maybe find a link that will make his transition into your frame much easier. What is your pretext? How would the person you are about to approach treat a person in your pretext? A good social engineer must understand this to be successful. The gatekeeper will treat a sales guy differently from the soda delivery guy. Understanding the frame of the target means knowing how he will treat you, not as a social engineer, but you as the pretext. A more personal example may be to think of how you want others to view you. Maybe as cool, together, intelligent, or confident. A professor wants to appear smart. A manager wants to appear in control. An athlete wants to appear calm and strong. A comedian wants the audience to view her as funny. All of these are frames that a person wants others to be in alignment with. In the comedian's case, what if there is a heckler, a person who doesn't see her as cool, funny, intelligent, or confident? Because of the heckler's frame, they are angry, not happy, put off, or just not interested. If the comedian persists in his frame, he may convert some people around him, but until he delves deep to try to understand where someone is coming from, he will not be able to align their two frames and bring that person into his frame. The comedian who can handle a heckler is able to put aside her fears about her frame and use the heckler to her advantage. The frame bridging alignment technique can be one of the most powerful used by a social engineer, but it involves some preparation to make sure you get it right. A social engineer can utilize this particular form of frame alignment by helping a target bridge the gap of what they see and what they need to believe through a proper pretext. Again, recall the example of trying to gain access to the building as a tech support rep. Your dress, tools, and language must match the frame that the target expects of a support rep. If they do, the bridge is created and alignment occurs. Frame amplification. Frame amplification, according to Snow, refers to the clarification and invigoration of an interpretive frame that bears on a particular issue, problem, or set of events. In other words, you will amplify or focus on the values or beliefs of the target. By focusing on those values, you can find an area that will align your two frames, or at least drive the target to think there is alignment. This form of alignment has been labeled as the most basic of the four because it is more of a maintenance method. It involves the accenting, augmenting, or punctuating of an event as being more important than others, which allows for this event to be linked with others with greater ease. An example of frame amplification can be revealed if we do further research into the earlier example about the full-body X-ray scanners. The scanners are being sold now as deterrents for terrorists. The frame that we are being sold under is how the recent terrorist activity caused a need for products like this. And here they are to fulfill that need. Yet research into these devices shows they were being built, marketed, and rejected long before the attacks of 9/11 and other recent attacks. Using the events of 9/11, combined with the fear of flying many people have due to those attacks, enables the scanner companies to link their frame with the frame of fear many people have, and thereby gain support for implementing these devices in airports around the globe. One of the other strengths of frame amplification is that it can be successfully used to blur the frame and cause people with a certain belief to distance themselves from that belief. For example, many people who believed in privacy and the freedom to choose how to be screened have been brought into a different frame by the X-ray scanner manufacturers, focusing on certain aspects of other screening methods being unsafe or incomplete. And to prove their point, they bring out stories like the underwear bomber. Such tactics amplify their frame that the new X-ray scanners are better and safer using widely held beliefs regarding the lack of security of other methods. A social engineer can utilize this alignment technique in a few different ways. For instance, a social engineer may want to convince a security guard to give him access to an on-site dumpster. The pretext of working for a waste disposal contractor is good, and it very well may work alone. But it would work even better if you presented the idea that there is damage to one of the dumpsters, which represents a security liability for the company. Amplifying that frame can bring you to an alignment with the security guard, that the best solution is allowing you on site to check it out. Frame extension. Frame extensions are a movement's effort to incorporate participants by extending the boundaries of the proposed frame to encompass the views, interests, and more importantly, the sentiments of a group. In other words, by extending your frame's boundaries to encompass other subjects or interests of your target, you can bring them into alignment. For example, the possibility exists that groups who support environmental or green initiatives will extend their frame to anti-nuclear movements, stating they are under the umbrella of being concerned about the environmental risks. However, a risk with using frame extensions is they can weaken the stance on the original frame, and a certain level of appeal can be lost. This can be done by including too many frame extensions into a certain frame, eventually diluting the main frame and causing interest to be lost. Even on a personal level, simple is best. When using this frame alignment tactic, keep it simple and easy to follow. Do not make the connecting web so convoluted you lose the interest of the target. A social engineer may utilize this frame alignment technique through the elicitation skills discussed in Chapter 3. When a social engineer approaches a target, she can gather information about the target or their company by not acting interested in that, but utilizing chit-chat at a party, or with a pretext as a reporter. This will give the social engineer the right to ask for information that they normally would have to work very hard to get. Frame transformation. Frame transformation is the process required when the proposed frames may not resonate with, and on occasion may even appear antithetical to, conventional lifestyles or rituals and extant interpretive frames. In other words, a social engineer offers new arguments that point to why their frame is better in an effort to transform the thoughts or beliefs of a target from where they are to where the social engineer wants them to be. When a frame transformation occurs, new values and new understandings are required to keep people involved and keep their support. This type of transformation was done on a large social level in the 1970s, where the conservative movement was reframed or transformed into a more progressive environmentalist movement. On a smaller, more personal scale, frame transformations occur every day through religious conversion, in which a person's frame or whole belief system is altered, changed, and transformed to be aligned with a new frame of thought, that of the new religion. Transforming someone's frame is not easy. It is one of the most complicated alignment tactics to put into practice because it can take time. Changing someone's whole belief structure is not a quick process and can take the usage of other alignment techniques and lots of time to make it work. Effort. Knowing where the target is coming from and where you want him to be are just the initial steps. What will be his objections and mental blocks? Finding out these things will take some work. Education. Knowledge is power. You must help the target understand the new frame you want him to convert to. Logic. The education must be logical and not all emotion. The target must be able to reason and rationalize the action he is about to take. The only way he can do that is with logic. Deep emotional ties. Knowledge is what prepares a person for action. Logic convinces him the action is good to take, but emotion is what makes the action happen. If you are emotional about your cause, the target will feel that emotion. Just make sure the emotion you are expressing and feeling matches the pretext. If your pretext is a guidance counselor and you come in like a cheerleader, you will offset the target's ability to align. Being able to align others to your frame and align yourself with theirs can give people incentive to do the things you ask. Although using any of the four framing methods is powerful, a social engineer who is successful in frame transformation has endless power. Listen on to find out how to apply these framing techniques as a social engineer. Using framing as a social engineer. Throughout this section, I mentioned many ways a social engineer might use framing as a technique. Some of the methods are so powerful that perfecting them can turn you into a master influencer. To truly use framing as a social engineer, you must understand four things about framing. These four things will help you to understand clearly how framing works and how to use it as a social engineer. Remember what a frame is. A frame is a conceptual structure that our minds use in thinking. This is a vital piece of information because your goal is either to create a new frame, align with a person's frame, or bring the target into your frame. One of those three goals needs to be outlined with the following four rules in order to master framing as a social engineer. Rule 1. Everything you say will evoke a frame. People's minds work by picturing things. This natural fact cannot be altered, but you can use it to your advantage. If I start to talk to you about your boss, your mind will picture him. If I paint a picture with words about how he was outside on the cell phone and he was angry, your mind will start to picture his angry face, body language, and words. You will not be able to control this, and the mental frame will cause emotions and reactions. Painting a picture with words is a powerful way to use framing. By choosing your words carefully, you can cause a target's mind to picture things you want him to picture and start moving him into a frame you want. Have you ever heard someone who you thought was a great storyteller? Why? What made her great? She was able to paint a mental picture, make you see things in your mind, which intrigues you and gets you involved. This skill is very important for a social engineer. It doesn't mean you talk as if you are telling a great story all the time, but you want to keep in mind the words you choose because those words hold the power to paint pictures in the mind of the targets. Here is a simple example. I can tell you that I had spaghetti for dinner last night. If you are not a foodie or not Italian, maybe the last time you had spaghetti, it wasn't that pleasurable. Your mental frame is not that strong, and you might be turned off. What if I told you that last night my wife made a sauce of vine-ripened tomatoes and basil she grew in the garden? It also had chunks of fresh garlic and oregano in it, as well as hints of red wine flavors. She served it over a plate of perfectly cooked spaghetti noodles and with homemade garlic bread. Whether or not you're a pasta fan, you are picturing a restaurant-quality dish. This is how you should plan your words with your targets. They should be descriptive, robust, and full of pictures. Yet the caution is not to be overly theatrical as a social engineer. Your goal should be to build a picture with your words, not to draw attention to yourself or your delivery. Rule 2. Words that are defined within a frame evoke the mental frame. You don't have to use the exact words to make a person picture the frame you want. For example, what do you think of when you hear the following sentence? I saw the insect struggle to get free from the web, but he could not. Moments later, he was wrapped up in a cocoon and saved for dinner. Notice I didn't have to mention a spider to make you think of a spider. If I wanted to frame you into thinking about a spider, I can do it without having to mention the word spider. This powerful rule of influence and framing gives a social engineer the ability to control the target's thoughts using indirect speech. Toastmasters, the international organization focused on people's speaking abilities, teaches its members to move people with their speech by getting their audience's emotions involved. Delivering a story that causes the target to picture the frame you want while involving them emotionally will solidify your standing in leading that conversation. Again, using this method of framing will take planning. A powerful aspect to this frame rule is that while a target's brain is processing the information you are feeding it and generating the mental pictures you are painting, there is a time when you can plant thoughts or ideas. Unlike where I painted a direct picture of a beautiful pasta dish, this rule allows the target the freedom to picture something else. I could have ended my earlier spaghetti dinner story with, "My wife then served it on a plate of perfectly cooked pasta." What kind of pasta? I am not telling you, you have to picture it. As I twirled it on my fork, the sauce was so thick and perfect it clung to each noodle. This description paints the mental picture of spaghetti. What other pasta do you twirl? I know there are others, but you get the point. Rule 3. Negate the framing. If I tell you to not picture a spider in a web, your brain has to picture the spider first, then tell yourself not to picture it. This technique of negating the frame is powerful. Telling a target to be careful, watch out, or be cautious about something automatically puts them in the frame you may want. This technique is often used by professional social engineers. In one interview I did with a panel of social engineers, everyone agreed that this technique works great. During one audit, I dropped a few USB keys that were laden with malicious code that I wanted someone in the company to run without thinking. I approached one of the employees who I had gained the trust of and said, "John, I heard a memo was issued to be on the lookout for a few USB keys that have been dropped. They are looking for them now. It just so happens that you are in there as a janitor, and you dropped the USB keys laden with malicious files. And now, by telling people to look out for them, you are in essence planting the seed for them to do your bidding." This kind of phrase negates the worry they may feel when finding a rogue USB key and cause them to plug it in to see whose it is. Rule number 4. Causing the target to think about the frame reinforces that frame. Every time the brain focuses or thinks about something, it is reinforced. The more you can make the target think about or picture the frame you want him to be in, the easier it will be to reinforce and move him to that frame. Look back to Chapter 2 on communication modeling and analyze how the messages a social engineer will develop can have amazing effects on your target. I was once traveling in India. I don't remember the exact incident in the news, but all I know is that President George W. Bush had lost favor with people in Europe. I was flipping through the news stations and I saw how people in certain European countries were hanging dolls that looked like George W. Bush in the streets. After wrapping American flags around the dolls, they were lighting them on fire. It was a shocking scene, and while I was on the phone with my wife that evening, I said, "Wow, that news story on what's happening in Europe is crazy, huh?" She hadn't heard anything about it. Why? News media and news stations are masters when it comes to framing and manipulation. A social engineer can learn a lot from looking at how media utilizes this skill. By using omissions or leaving out details of a story or the whole story itself, the media can lead people to a conclusion that seems like their own, but really is the media's. Social engineers can do that too. By omitting certain details and only leaking details that they want leaked, they can create the frame that they want the target to think or feel. Labeling is another tactic used by the media. When they want to frame something positive, they may say things like, "the strong defense of," or, "our healthy economy." These phrases paint mental pictures of stability and health that can help draw positive conclusions. The same rules can apply for negative frames too. Labels such as Islamic terrorists or conspiracy theories paint a very negative picture. You can utilize these skills to label things with descriptive words that will bring a target into the frame you want. Once, approaching a guard booth that I wanted to gain access to, I walked right through as if I belonged. I was instantly stopped abruptly. I looked at the guard in shock, and apologetically I used a phrase like, "Oh, yesterday that extremely helpful security guard, Tom, checked out all my creds and let me pass. That's why I assumed I was still on the list." Labeling the previous guard as extremely helpful automatically puts the present guard in a frame I want. If he wants to receive such a prestigious label, he better be as extremely helpful as Tom. Framing is effective because it bends the truth, but not so much that it becomes false, so it remains believable. A social engineer can create a desired impression without departing too far from the appearance of objectivity. I read a white paper called "Status Quo Framing Increases Support for Torture," written by Christian Crandall, Scott Eidelman, Linda Skitka, and Scott Morgan, all researchers from different universities. In the white paper, they supplied a very interesting data set that intrigued me on this topic. In the U.S., it seems many people are against the use of torture in wartime as a tactic for gaining intelligence information. The purpose of the study was to see whether the researchers could get a subset of people to agree that torture is less disagreeable by framing the message differently. They took a sample group of roughly 486 people and asked them to read two paragraphs. The first one read, "The use of stress by U.S. forces when questioning suspects in the Middle East is in the news. This kind of stress interview is new. According to some reports, it is the first time it has been widely used by the U.S. military. American forces have used many different methods, including strapping detainees to a board and dunking them underwater, stuffing detainees face first into a sleeping bag, and long periods of hanging detainees by ropes in painful positions. Detainees are also kept awake and alone for days at a time." This paragraph paints the thought that these are new techniques being employed by the U.S. government to obtain data. The second paragraph read, "The use of stress by U.S. forces when questioning suspects in the Middle East is in the news. This kind of stress interview is not new. According to some reports, it has been used for more than 40 years by the U.S. military. American forces have used many different methods, including strapping detainees to a board and dunking them underwater, stuffing detainees face first into a sleeping bag, and long periods of hanging detainees by ropes in painful positions. Detainees are also kept awake and alone for days at a time." The status quo version of the paragraph was identical, except that the second sentence in the paragraph was replaced with, "This kind of stress interview is not new. According to some reports, it has been used for more than 40 years by the U.S. military." What were the results in just changing one frame? A frame that these are brand new methods, or that these are tried and tested methods that have been used for decades? The paper describes the researchers' measures. 7 items formed the basic set of dependent variables. These items corresponded to a 7-point button scale, with the point labels of very much disagree, moderately disagree, slightly disagree, uncertain, slightly agree, moderately agree, and very much agree. All items were reverse scored so that higher scores reflected greater agreement with each item. The conclusion? The status quo manipulation had an effect on overall evaluation of torture. When described as a long-standing rather than new practice, torture was evaluated more positively. Making torture appear to be the status quo for interrogations increased individual support and justifications for using it as a tactic. By changing just one little part of the frame, the researchers were able to bring a sizable group of people into alignment and make them agree. For the most part, that torture can be an acceptable policy. That paper's remarks continued, they can apply across many, many domains and can affect judgment, decision-making, aesthetics, and policy preferences, concluding with, relatively modest changes in the way ethical choices and value dilemmas are presented, framed, or put in context can have profound effect on political choice and policy. This experiment proves how powerful framing is because it can change even core beliefs, judgments, and decisions that people may have had for years. As a social engineer, that is not even the goal most of the time. You are not trying to convert people. You are just trying to get them to take an action that, with a little thought, they would reason is not that good to take. Applying the four framing rules and doing a lot of planning can make framing a devastating force to be reckoned with. Which is why, unfortunately, malicious social engineers use this technique every day. In the U.S. and westernized cultures especially, people are trained to accept being framed. To accept being told what to think and how to think. If I told you 15 years ago that almost every program on television would be about watching real people do real things, you might have laughed at me. Why? Because watching shows like that sounded boring and silly. Yet in 2006, the Los Angeles Times stated that the number of reality TV programs jumped up 128%, and it hasn't slowed down much since then. And it's because watching them is what's new and hip, and we are told that watching them is good and fun, and everyone does it. These shows are an example of how one thing can be made to look good that most people would have considered silly just a few years earlier. Framing is definitely an art form that, when mixed with the science of communication and influence, can become a formidable force on a personal level in the hands of a skilled social engineer. Through presenting information in a way that can make aligning with a social engineer easy for the target, can make him take an action that will not leave him feeling guilty and alter his perception of reality. Framing and influence are key parts of social engineering, although another skill is often associated with dark corners of social engineering. The book's introduction mentioned peering into these corners. The following section presents the information that will alter the way you look at influence. Manipulation, controlling your target. Manipulation is considered by many to be a very dark topic, a topic that creates a sense of fear because of the way it is often portrayed. Taking a look at a few definitions found on the internet may help to explain. Exerting shrewd or devious influence, especially for one's own advantage. Influence over control, shrewdly or deviously. Control or influence skillfully, usually to one's advantage. You can clearly see why many social engineers drool over this topic. Can you imagine being able to use your skills to control or influence someone to your advantage? From something as dark as brainwashing to the subtle hints of a salesperson, manipulation tactics are something every social engineer should study and perfect. The aim of manipulation is to overcome the critical thinking and free will of their target. When the target loses the ability to make a decision based on informed process, they can be fed the ideas, values, attitudes, or reasonings of the one manipulating them. Manipulation is used in six ways that hold true, whether the topic is brainwashing or something less insidious. I will quickly go through each one before we get into this very deep section. Increasing the suggestibility of your target. At its most extreme, sleep or food deprivation increases your target's suggestibility. On the lighter side, subtle hints that build in intensity over time to make your target more suggestible. Gaining control over the target's environment. This technique can involve everything from controlling the type and quantity of information to which a target has access to much subtler things like gaining access to a target's social media websites. In a social engineering context, having access to social media allows you to view your target's communications as well as exert control over the information he receives. creating doubt. Destabilizing and undermining your target's belief system can go a long way toward manipulating your target to take an action you want. From a social engineering viewpoint, this must be done subtly. You can't just barge in and start degrading your target. Instead, questioning the rules they follow, their job, or their beliefs can affect the target's ability to make rational decisions. Creating a sense of